2010-4, Jesse Frederick Conaway and Everett T. Conaway.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, with this particular subdivision, there's some issues that I would like to discuss with the commission before we render a vote on this.
Mr. Chairman, so I did not attend this public hearing, but I did listen to the tapes in their entirety, and I discussed the issue regarding the buffers and lot lines in the buffers with Mr. Robertson at length, and we reviewed the ordinance. In the ordinance, there's no restrictions on lot lines and buffers, but however, I do feel that we do need to make sure that they are clearly identified so that the property owners know where those buffer lines are. So I have a motion prepared which will hopefully address that issue. That's okay, Mike?
If we might, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to discuss it prior to the motion.
Sure.
Okay. Right then.
And to assist the commissioners and Mr. Lank with his scribbling notes, I have some comments that I'll pass down, if you'll share that. This summarizes some of my concerns and issues, and I reserve the right to expand on them a little bit. And Mr. Chairman, for the benefit of the public, I'll read these, but Mr. Chairman, I continue to maintain that wetland buffers should not and cannot be located within lots. Besides the environmental and ecological issues, I believe there is adequate basis for this in the ordinances. Although Chapter 115-93 does not specify that buffers cannot be within lot lines, nor does it specifically permit it either. Nevertheless, the prohibition of buffers and lot lines is supported elsewhere in the ordinances. And for this, I would refer the commission to Section 115-4 under definitions. And for brevity's sake, I'll paraphrase. Under the definition of lot, it includes and set apart for separate use and occupancy from contiguous parcels. And then again, under the definition of open space, which includes under Section 1C, buffers and forested areas, and under Section I, title and non-title wetlands. By these definitions, if the wetland buffers are included within the lots, then we're permitting open space to be included within individual lots. Further, Section 115-13, titled Encroachments and Reduction of Lot Areas, this addresses the issue of encroachments by open space. And I further contend that the inclusion of the buffers within the lots results in a reduction of the lot area as the buffers are defined as open space in 115-4. I contend that if wetland buffers are permitted within lot lines, then what is to prevent any other community features to be included, whether it be stormwater management ponds, parks, recreational facilities, etc. Furthermore, the inclusion of wetland buffers within lots discredits the subdivision ordinance and the zoning ordinance. Besides the degradation of the wetlands buffer ordinance, which is 115-193, it diminishes the intent of 115-194, otherwise titled conservation zones. Furthermore, I contend the inclusion of wetland buffers and lot lines does not adequately address 99-9C, Section 2, 3, 10, and 17, as well as Section 99-16C. And if you'll note, in the public hearing, nor now have I raised the issue of buffers greater than 50 feet, as our ordinance permits only a 50-foot buffer. Rather, my concern has been and is the inclusion of wetland buffers within the lots. During the public hearing, the applicant did not raise any hardship issues, only design issues. The inclusion of the wetland buffers within the lot lines were due to the conservation zone requirements for 1-acre lots and the design of the subdivision. I can support the approval of this project if the wetland buffers are removed from all the lots. And here I want to do my editorial piece in that this particular application, this project is fronting on the Nanticoke River, which is a vital recreational parcel. In addition, the lot lines that the buffers from the, I guess it's the southern portion of the parcel, is fronting, tidal wetlands, and that these are a particular sensitive nature. So given the fact that this property not only borders on the Nanticoke River, it has some extensive wetlands on the one edge. So given the special circumstances, or special conditions of the land that is the subject of this subdivision, I would contend that normally 50-foot buffer is probably inadequate, but our ordinance only provides for a 50-foot buffer, and I'm willing to stick with that. However, I take exception to say that the 50-foot buffer is inclusive of a, what is it they call it, the buildable area within the lot. To me, this particular subdivision, given the low density, provides the applicant with more than enough land to still get their 99 lots. So it's not a question of us taking away lots in this particular case. It's a question of what is best for our environment. And I contend that a buffer zone that is separate from the lots, that is part of the open space of the subdivision, that is maintained by the developer until such time as the homeowners association takes over, is what's best for, in this situation, our environment. I think that it is of concern to me, the fact, number one, that there's even all these proposed individual septic systems, but that's permitted, so that's not of issue. My issue is what can we, as a commission, can address in terms of putting stipulations and conditions on subdivisions. And my contention is that in this situation, given the uniqueness of this property and the being right on top of the Nanticoke River, we have a responsibility to do what we can to protect the environment at the same time that we protect the land rights of the property owner. So in this case, providing or contending that the buffer should not be in the lot lines is not a taking from this applicant, because the applicant can still produce his 99 lots and is not a detriment, rather is an enhancement to the protection of our environment. That's my editorial.
All right, sir.
And for the record, I'd like Mr. Lank to have my written comments that I gave to you included in the minutes of tonight's meeting.
So noted.
All right, then. Gentlemen, anyone like to comment?
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate Mr. Johnson's comments. And in a policy environment, it would probably be appropriate. However, I think he's mixing apples and oranges, as the council decided specifically in Section 115-4I to not allow lot lines in tidal lands. They had that same opportunity to make that same restriction in buffers and chose not to. Within the buffers, they specifically put basically a setback in building restrictions in the buffer area. And since they chose not to do that, I think that was done with a deliberate forethought. So I don't think it's appropriate for the commission to try to change policy. That's the council's role. It's ours to take the ordinance and try to implement that. And living with that, the intent of the buffer ordinance and the restrictions, what I will be proposing in my motion is that those buffers be clearly marked with permanent concrete markers on site as well as on the site plan, so that whoever does own that property knows that those restrictions are there. Finally, I don't think the council ordinance actually stipulated who should own the restricted area. And by telling the property owner he can't sell lots in the buffer area, we're basically denying him the right to sell his land. Once the development is built, it would be landlocked up to the river. And so then his options on selling that property are very limited. Again, that discussion would be for council to decide if they so choose to change the ordinance.
One thing I do want to clarify, because I got the statement from Mr. Johnson just really a little bit before the meeting. There was a reference in his statement to open space and how that applies to buffers. And to give that some context, what you need to do is go back to ordinance number 2022 that I think was in 2008, which was the open space ordinance. And what it did is amended several sections throughout the code and added the definition that Mr. Johnson referred to in 115.4. It doesn't say that buffers or other areas of a subdivision are definitely open space. When you read that ordinance as a whole, it doesn't say that. What it was designed to do as part of that comp plan that required its implementation was to show, and ultimately council made the decision that it was simply a guide for determining minimum open space percentages. But that whole ordinance said that if you're going to calculate your minimum open spaces, you can use these areas as the basis for that calculation. So you can use open space, or you can use buffers. You can use stormwater management, I think is what it said, some other areas, you know, amenities, that type of thing, to calculate your open space calculations. You know, if you chose to put, I'll use buffers within your lot lines for these wetlands, you know, buffers, you would just lose the ability to calculate that towards your open space. I admit that when you read that definition sort of as a whole, it perhaps leads to that assumption, but that's not the way that legally plays out when you read in the context of Ordinance 2022, which was the open space ordinance, and it was, again, for the comp plan, so there would be some guide as to what the minimum open space requirements would be for a subdivision. So I just wanted to clarify that one point from Mr. Johnson's statement.
Oh, yeah, that's real clear.
Sorry. Well, I'll make it
about as clear as the water in that tidal stream.
Yeah, well, it doesn't. Buffers aren't necessarily open space. They can be, but they're not required to be under Ordinance 2022.
I understand and appreciate your comment. I was just being having a little fun with you here on a cold December evening. It can get rather complicated, and I think that's one of the issues that we're dealing with. I think if there's ever, once again, we're presented with an application that underscores the need for us to revisit certain sections of the ordinance and maybe propose some changes that will better reflect the intent and better reflect the current science. We've been fortunate that we've had the Center for the Inland Bays has presented us with some good science on buffers, and it won't be an easy ordinance because there's not a one size fits all to that situation. But right now we have to work with what we have. One question I would ask Mr. Ross about in your motion. I think the boundary marker is certainly a good idea. I had asked Mr. Robertson previously if this was appropriating within our abilities to do, and he indicates to me that it is within our scope to be able to ask to have that information placed in the individual deeds.
That's also in the motion.
Is that in your motion? Because I think that's probably the best we can do. And as I say, this is something where these are some things we need to revisit. I don't know that anybody is particularly excited about this application as a whole. But it isn't about whether we like them or don't like them. It's about the ordinance we have to apply. So, Mr. Johnson, I encourage you don't give up your fight here.
Well, if I may clarify for the commission and for the public, I'm not proposing a change in the ordinances. I'm not proposing a roundabout way of changing any of the ordinances. In fact, I'm looking at this as a unique property situation.
where you have some very unique environmental issues. You have some very unique recreational issues that come into play. So what I'm discussing here today is not something where I'm trying to create any new ordinances by proposing that the buffers in this case be removed from the lots. Certainly that's above my pay grade to change the ordinances in this county. Rather, what I'm dealing with is what I consider a very specific, unique situation which cries out for protection. My concern is how they can go about as a community, because I've read the motion that Mr. Ross has prepared, and one of my concerns is how the homeowners association is going to be responsible for these buffers, and because this is on private property, and if I, as a individual landowner, if I buy an acre lot, I would presume that that's my acre lot to do it. Now, granted, it would, if it's in the restrictive covenants, says I can't, but then I'm not really buying an acre lot because you're telling me I can't do something with part of my land. So to me, if there's a taking of land, that's a taking of land, and you're restricting my use of potentially 30 feet of my lot because you're extending the no-build zone. So again, I'm not trying to change anything. I'm dealing with a specific subdivision that I was here, that I heard, and I expressed my concerns that night as well. I'm sure Mr. Ross might have heard my mumblings.
Well, historically, there was no setback from wetlands. The wetland boundary became the setback. The council and commission, with recommendation of the council through public hearing process, created what you're calling a buffer was actually a setback from the wetlands. And the first one was only 20 foot because that was a rear yard setback requirement. So that way nothing would be built in that first 20 feet. And then a year or so later, they amended it again, and we amended it to 50, and it's a 50 foot setback from the wetland boundary. And the surveyors draw those on the plot plan, but it's included as part of the lot. 90% of the time. If it's not included as part of the lot, it's something that the developer wanted to do on his own. It's not required. It's a setback.
And I would echo
that. Written.
That's the way the ordinance 115 93 is written. It talks about structures. You know, that's what it's in, improvements and structures, not about lot lines. I mean, if we're doing a strict reading of that ordinance, that's what it says. It talks about structures, just like Lawrence said, which means it's a setback.
Okay. Mr. Smith or Mr. Burton, you wish to weigh in?
One of the things that, you know, and I spent a lot of time with Lawrence and Shane and talking to Mike about this, and the thing that really kind of moved my pen is what Lawrence just said, is that it's a setback. It's not a buffer. And I wouldn't want any lots in a buffer. But if it's a setback within the lot, I think we're creating a buffer within the lot, which seems to be okay. I mean, it seems to be within the ordinance, and it seems to do the same thing that Mike is trying to do within the lot. Mm-hmm. Because they would then have to step back from that to build.
Right.
If I'm understanding that correct. Is that right? Is that right?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to say, you know, in listening to everyone, I can easily ascertain we're going to have some disagreement on this, and I think that hopefully speaks to the health of the commission and people's passions and energies, which I respect all the work that everyone's put in on this. I think what I think about this is whether we like it or not, as a commission, we are a regulatory agency. We do make some decisions, and I think that we're empowered to make reasonable conditions based on things such as agency comments and different things. Let's not forget we did have a public hearing on this. We had input from PLUS, Mr. Whitaker, I believe, spoke, as well as some other people. There were some emails and things. We've all considered it, and I'd like to think that we have the ability to have the impetus to have some regulation. If not, it's like I don't want to feel as though we're just
we have the ability within the ordinance. Off,
yeah.
Within the ordinance, we certainly do. And this is sort of the kind of the basis of the Ashburn case, I guess, we spoke to that issue fairly clearly about what, in essence, sort of circumscribe the limits of what we can do with that. But you're right. I agree that we certainly have some latitude. And I'll just say again, I think it speaks to the need for us to revisit some of these things. Maybe now that our schedule is lightening up some, we can schedule some time to work on those issues. Anyone else have anything? Okay, Mr. Ross, you have the floor, sir.
Just one final comment before I make my motion. Regardless of who owns the land, it's private property. The restrictions apply, whether it's owned by a lot owner or by Mr. Conway. I move that we grant preliminary approval subdivision 2010-4 for Jesse Frederick Conway and Everett T. Conway based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the proposed subdivision meets the purpose of the subdivision code and that it protects the orderly growth of the county. It also meets the requirements of subdivision code and the items listed in section 99.9C of the code have been favorably addressed. The proposed subdivision with a density 99 lots on 151 acres of land is significantly less than the density permitted by the existing AR1 zoning. The proposed subdivision will be a restricted residential development and will not adversely affect nearby uses or property values. The proposed subdivision will not adversely impact schools, public buildings, and community facilities, or area roadways and public transportation. DENREC has indicated the site is suitable for individual on-site septic systems. Water will be provided by individual on-site wells. The proposed subdivision is in accordance with the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan, which permits single-family lots of 3/4 acre on septic systems within the county's low-density area. This approval is subject to the following conditions. A, there shall be no more than 99 lots within the subdivision. B, the applicant shall form a homeowners association responsible for the perpetual maintenance of streets, roads, any buffers, stormwater management facilities, erosion and sedimentation control facilities, and other common areas. C, the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. It shall be constructed and maintained using best management practices. D, the all entrances shall comply with all of DLTOT's requirements. And an area for a school bus stop shall be coordinated with the local school district. E, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Departments. F, the final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. G, a forested buffer shall be shown along the boundaries of the property. The final site plan shall also contain a landscape plan for all the buffer areas showing all of the landscaping and vegetation to be included in the buffer areas. H, the developer shall maintain as many existing trees as possible. The undisturbed forested areas shall be shown on the final site plan. I, no wetlands shall be included within any lots. J, a system of street lighting shall be established. K, sidewalks shall be located on one side of all streets in the subdivision. L, amenities shall include walking paths, a tot lot, and park areas. The on-site cemetery shall be preserved and maintained by the developer, followed by the homeowners association. M, all buffers required by section 115-193 of the county zoning code as depicted on the preliminary site plan shall be depicted on the final site plan and referenced within the restricted covenants and deeds to the lots affected by the buffers. The deeds and restrictive covenants shall state that the buffers must remain undisturbed or in a natural vegetative state and that no structures, including accessory buildings, shall be constructed within the buffer area. N, The buffer area is required by Section 115-193 of the Sussex County Zoning Code, as depicted on the preliminary site plan, shall be clearly marked on the site with permanent physical markers defining the boundaries. The location and type of these markers shall be depicted on the final site plan. The restricted covenants for the development shall include a notice of operation of poultry farms in the area, the agricultural use protection notice, notice of hunting activities on adjacent and nearby state lands, notice of wetlands located on the site, and a prohibition of use of all-terrain vehicles within the subdivision or on state lands. P, the preliminary approval was contingent upon the applicant submitting a revised preliminary site plan, either depicting or noting the conditions of this approval on it. Staff shall approve the revised plan upon confirmation that the conditions of approval have been depicted or noted on it. The final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Question. On number six, under your reasoning, yes, where it makes reference to the 3/4 acre on septic systems within the county low density area.
Yes, sir.
Just for clarity and for the record, could you add that the lots within the conservation zone along Nanticoke River contain at least 1 acre, just for reference?
So changed.
And for Mr. Robertson, member O, on your conditions, the last part of that statement makes reference to or makes reference to all terrain vehicles within the subdivision or on state lands. Should that or on state land be struck from this part of the motion? Up to the state to enforce.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's a problem with putting that in the restrictive covenants per
se. Well, if you're giving directions to the landowner, that's fine.
Yeah, and I think that's all it is giving direction. And I want to say that that was proposed by the applicant. I'm not sure without spending some time looking at this.
But you know, what happens is the state may allow all terrain vehicles in their hunting procedures if there's deer hunting allowed.
That's true. Yeah, it's probably worth then in that regard. So
I was looking at that way more than on the site. But if it's just in a restrictive covenant, that's.
Under O, we would strike and nearby state lands.
Or no, actually, it's the prohibition of all terrain vehicles within the subdivision period and strike the last or on state lands.
1, 2, 3, 4 words of O.
That's all. Thank you.
So changed. Thank you, Lawrence.
I'm going to second that motion. All right, sir.
It's moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2010-4, Jesse Frederick Conaway and Everett T. Conaway, for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Here.
Aye.
Okay, Mr. Lank, let the record show that the motion carried 3-2.